This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Road School Moms Live. I'm one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, co-founder of Full Time Families and Road Schooling Mom to Four. And on the line with me shortly will be Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher and road schooling mom to four or more. In fact, I see her now. How are you doing, Mary Beth?
Hey, KT, how you doing? I'm doing good.
I'm doing great too. I have to tell you where I am. I'm in one of the most beautiful areas of the country this season. We finally, after 5 days and 1,500 miles, pulled into the Denver metro area, and it is just gorgeous here.
Isn't it gorgeous there? There's something about that area that just draws you in and makes you want to stay.
You know, I feel it. I know what you're talking about. I feel it. I'm looking around thinking, I think I could possibly live here.
Well, I have to give you some exciting news that, you know, our life is ever evolving, right? I never know where I'm going to be from week to week, and it looks like that our rig is going to be headed to Denver as well this week. So I think we may cross over for a couple weeks, so I'm really excited about seeing you and the other Travaglinos.
That is so super exciting. I'm just so thrilled to hear that, and especially to hang out with you in Denver because it's so beautiful here. I mean, we could be hanging out in a lot of different places in the country, but right here, right now, it's a beautiful place to be, so that will be super cool. I'd love that.
So excited to be able to do. Hopefully next week we'll be both coming to our listeners live from Denver.
Yay, my favorite. I love when we come live and together. So did you notice I changed my hair color for tonight's show?
I did. Is that going to be a new thing? We have to change our hair color every Sunday for the show. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I know. I was just feeling the fall, right? I'm feeling autumn, and my hair was saying summer. It was very blonde and saying way too much summer. And I got a little bug in my bonnet last night while we were parked at the Walmart. And I went inside around 11 o'clock at night and bought myself some hair dye. And then this morning, while we were still parked at the Walmart, I was like, really, am I going to do this while we're boondocking? Am I really going to dye my hair while we're boondocking? But I couldn't resist anymore. It was like this force greater than me that said, you must color your hair right now. So
I cannot believe that you didn't muster up your road crew to do some before and after the before and after pictures right there. That would have been a whole series. I'm so disappointed.
That's super disappointing. Yeah, after 5 days, 300 miles a day, five and six hours in the car, you definitely didn't want a before.
So tell me, because, you know, it's so different for me when we travel. You know, we travel in a Class A. You're in a fifth wheel with a truck. So let's talk about that for a second. So you travel 300 miles. Average per day. So how many times did you stop?
The first day, Tonya drank way too much liquid. And every 20 minutes, she was saying, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to go to the bathroom every 20 minutes, which makes Chris really, really nervous because, you know, we're 50-something feet, maybe 54 feet from bumper to bumper. And you just can't pull over on a dime, as you know, even with your motorhome, but at least you have a bathroom right there. So we have to pull over and then open the camper up and let her go. And we did that about five or six times the first day. And then she said, you know, I drank way too much. And I thought, yes, you did. So she monitored her own fluid take the rest of the thing. And we usually stop around 2 to 3 times in a 300-mile trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
so. But it's really nice to be stationary here because, you know, we are just in forward motion. For the last 5 days, we have been in forward motion between 50 to 70 miles per hour on the highway. In fact, I posted a lot of our highway pics in my road school week looked like on Road School Moms group. And it was just road. I said to my mother, I called my mother while we were in Wyoming, and I said, I don't know why we have the state of Wyoming, because on Route 80 in Wyoming, there is nothing to see for 500 miles. Why do we have this?
It is very few and far between out there, I'll have to admit. Now, I love Wyoming. I'm a big fan of Wyoming. I guess southern, like, you know, down by Cheyenne, I love that. I love Cody, Wyoming. Wyoming is just a big state of nothingness between the things that you do like to see there.
that's so well said. So well said. That's exactly right. It is nothingness in between maybe something. In fact, we were supposed to stop in Cheyenne, and I got so sick of driving. And, you know, unlike your motorhome, which I'm assuming is packed slightly different than my camper, our campers are comparable in length, but 12 feet of mine is garage, and my garage is packed to the gills when we're moving. So I can't use the last 12 feet of my camper at all when we're moving like that from, you know, stop to stop to stop. Until we unpack the golf cart and all the other stuff that comes out, I don't have that space. And so when we're moving like that, we're essentially camping in, I don't know, what's 42 feet minus 12 feet, 30 feet, a 30-foot camper. And
well,
that gets tiring.
Our situation is similar because even though, you know, our rigs are different in the way that we use them, it's similar in the fact that when we're moving, we have to put our slides in, and so, you know, I don't leave things out as if we were stationary. So when we're moving like that, you know, we essentially live in the length of our motorhome, but I guess, you know, times whatever that would be, 7.5
right,
or 8 feet, whatever it is, because we don't use our whole rig either. So that's similar, I guess, in that way.
That is similar. I hadn't thought about that. And, right, you would have to put a lot of stuff away and probably not want to take it out. The boys' loft is packed with stuff, and so essentially they can't sleep in it while we're traveling like that. They come down and we turn the couch into a bed and they sleep on the couch because to undo all their electronics up there and then to redo it in the morning is just not worth it.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing too, I think, with when you're moving, is that when you're, you know, or when you're stationary, there's so many little things that your kids, you know, they have their own little routines too. So they have their electronics a certain place and they have, yeah, I know for us, our road school changes when we're moving because when we're stationary, I have an art basket over here, and I have some, you know, things laying out, easier access, I guess,
right,
when we're stationary. So when we're moving, it's definitely tightened up, and you have to remember before you put the slides in, just like you do, I'm sure, before you shut the garage door, where, you know, that you've got everything out that you can get to that night or for the next couple of nights because you may not be able to get to it until you can unpack.
Absolutely. You know, I'm glad you mentioned road school because it's confession time for me. For the last week, we did zero road schooling. They plugged in their electronics the night before. They used them the entire trip, and we'd come into the camper, plug the electronics back in, hang out for a little while, eat dinner, and go to bed. And that's what we did. And they, Dominic, I know, watched YouTube videos exclusively on something called Goat Simulator, which he was cackling the entire time in the truck next to me about this Goat Simulator. So I didn't really see any educational things I could salvage out of him watching that, except maybe when he's a 30-year-old man, he could make videos about some stupid video game and have 10,000 views or something ridiculous. Blazy, is his new obsession is Mad TV, and he watched pretty much every episode that they have on Netflix. Tonya watched The Winx Club and told me, she did tell me that she was learning how to behave well because I guess The Winx Club has a little bit of a moral message in between the navels that you can see, the animated navels and bikinis that they wear. There's a little message of being a good person. And DJ watched, I don't remember what, Bob the Builder. So out of all of them, I think DJ could maybe build us a house.
Well, you know, that's independent, right? That's independent learning. I think that DJ should be commended for his road school attempts this week. That's so funny.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But I did feel a twinge of guilt, but, you know, I like to also do my own thing in the car. And truth be told, when we are packed up in the car like that everyone gets a little nauseous if we try to study or do anything. Sometimes Tonya will have pens and paper back there, and she can, you know, go to town and make pictures or color or whatnot. But for the most part, we really just focus on everybody has their electronics and their headphones, and we just zoom through.
Well, you know, it goes back to what we talk about all the time, and that's in letting it go a little bit. And I can tell you that for my crew, when we're traveling, you know, I do try to stick to some sort of a, not routine, but just some sort of normalcy. But admittedly, like you, it's a little bit easier for everybody just to let everybody kind of do their own thing. And like your crew, my crew gets a little nauseous when they're reading. Everybody except for Taylor, she's the one that does, like Tonya, does like to do pictures and things like that. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's just a matter of seeing the good from it and not stressing about it and knowing that they're getting some. I mean, even with Dominic, you know, watching YouTube, he's reading, you know, at some point.
Yes.
You know, and you never know what kind of things they're sponging up. So give yourself a break. Call it good, and next week's a different week. And
I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call it good.
Call it good.
Water in the bridge. But this week I did get to meet the one and only Nancy Vogel, because we happened to go through Boise, and Nancy Vogel, who was a guest on Road School Moms, and as you know, was also part of our Road School convention in Tucson, is the mom of the Vogel family on bikes, the family that 3 years ago now, can you believe it's been that long, biked the entire length of North and South America contiguously without a break. It took them 3 years to do it. She had, at that point, 8-year-old twins, and they were, when they were done, they were 11-year-old twins, and I got to meet them this week, finally. So that was really exciting.
It is exciting. I'm so jealous that you got to meet Nancy. She's, I know if you've been in this community very long, you know Nancy and her story, and their adventure is pretty amazing. And even though I can't imagine that I could ever do anything like that, I'm so envious of just the story and the way that she makes things work.
Yeah, you know, it was really exciting to meet her, because we have talked, you and I have talked to Nancy in length about her adventure. But, you know, little things came to mind, like, do you really get a restful night's sleep in a tent? Because, as you know, they had a tent that they were carrying with them, enough to be able to bike hundreds of miles the next day again. And she said emphatically, yeah, after you get used to it, after you get used to sleeping in a harder surface, it's very restful, and they enjoyed it very much, and they miss it. But now her boys are involved in robotics, and although they're still homeschooled, they take a bunch of electives at the local high school. So they're very much part of the community now, and she says that's good for her too.
Well, her story is amazing, and if you didn't get to see our interview with that, we'd have to look back, I guess, at which episode it was, but I know that it was an episode from April of last year. We'd done that interview with her live from Tucson, and it really is an amazing story to read about and hear about from her.
Right. It's called Biking Across the Globe, An Evening with Nancy Saffer-Vogel from Family on Bikes, and I will put that link right there in our chat. So it's there if you want to tune in later tonight to that one. That was a really interesting show. That was a lot of fun. So what did your road school look like this week?
Our road school, well, I'll tell you, I know that I keep talking about these interactive notebooks, and I talk and I keep doing the talk and I don't do the walk and showing you or any of our listeners what we're doing, but I have to tell you that they are working so well, and this week we stepped it up a little and personalized them a little bit more. My boys are excited about it, which, as you know, is one of my big struggles in my road school, is keeping my older boys, they are 11 and 13, excited about road school or just school in general, any kind of learning in general, I guess. But I kind of took them one-on-one this week and had them kind of customize what they were doing in their notebooks with all of their subjects, and they're so excited and they're working so well. So this week it is my firm commitment to do a couple of really short videos and share with our listeners and with your crew how we're using our interactive notebooks, because they've made a world of difference in our road school. I can't even tell you.
I'm really excited about that because I feel I'm having deja vu from when you and I met and you were all lapbooks, and I was like just nodding and smiling and
yes, that
yeah.
sounds
awesome. But I had no idea what a lapbook was until the Road School Convention when you brought out your road trip teacher guides and Nancy from A Journey Through Learning came and brought their lapbooks, and I got to see them up close. So I would love a video, just a really short video on how you use the directed notebooks because I cannot wrap my head around it. I don't know what
well,
you're doing.
When you see how this all works, you're going to see, which is like I did, 2 months ago, I didn't know what an interactive notebook was. And I was Googling on Teachers Pay Teachers, actually, trying to find something that I needed for our road crew. And I found this little INB. That's what it was. I kept seeing these little references to INB. And I was like, what is an INB? I mean, I thought it was some kind of, secret code word. And I realized it was an interactive notebook. And then I'd done some research. And I'll just tell you that all you need for an interactive notebook is a spiral notebook or a composition notebook and a little bit of customization, and you're off and running. And I'll tell you, because we're big lapbook fans, that is you use a lot of your lapbook components or, some of your skills that you got with lapbooking and your foldables and things like that in your interactive notebook. So it's just kind of it brings the best of both worlds to there. And what we have found this week is, we do some of our work on Time for Learning. The kids do, everybody does at least part of their day on Time for Learning. And so what we've done with these notebooks is customize them with each of the subjects they're doing on Time for Learning. We've customized them according to the units and the things that they're going to be learning this year. So that's why I talk about this customization is really amped it up for us because now each one of my road schoolers feels like they have a set of these notebooks that are just theirs. And I went out online and I bought some graphics. I think I spent $12.50 or something. It wasn't a big amount of money on my cute graphics and another one that I'll share when I do the video. For instance, my 13-year-old loves monkeys. So I found some monkey school clip art. And just that little bit of customization and like that little personalization for him, I put on there Tyler's science notebook, with this monkey with this test tube holding in with these goggles on, and he's pleased as punch because that's his, and it shows kind of some of his interests, and he thinks that's just his, and he loves that. And so that was how I found this week to bring some excitement back into my road school, which let me just tell you, after a few months of how it is when you get started, it's like we needed a jump start, we needed a push, and so this has got us going.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love how easy it is, too. Sometimes as road school moms, we get bogged down, and when the kids are not excited about something, it kind of steals our passion about it, too, and then it becomes this work. But it's really not hard to invigorate and to put a little bit of fun into your road school so that the kids react like that. A lot of times, I'm really, really guilty of this, is just, let's get this done. Let's just get this done. Hurry, shut up. Everybody, listen. Be quiet. I got to get this done. But if you could, use different voices when you're reading the stories or, put some more hands-on, really, it doesn't take much to make the kids interested in it.
It doesn't, and it really doesn't take all that much to make, and I know we all make our kids special, and we all do special things for our kids, but it's always amazing to me. Like I said, when I downloaded those graphics, and Tyler was the first one I did it to, and I just happened to run across this set of, I can't even remember what it's called, school monkey something or other, and I looked at it, I thought, oh, those are so cute, and so I printed this title page out and literally slapped it with some Elmer's glue on the front of this composition notebook, took it back to him, and he was all over it, and everybody else was like, where's mine? Oh, I really wanted a penguin. Oh, I really wanted a zebra. And I was like, okay, this is clearly where you have to take advantage of the situation, take advantage of the momentum, and that's exactly what I did. And so within a few days, we had all our little notebooks made, and we're off and running. And like I said, we'll get those videos going this week, and we'll share them on our Road School Moms Facebook page this week, and we'll talk about them a little bit on next Sunday's show.
Perfect. I love it. So this Sunday's show, as you know, it's the first Sunday of the month, which means you and I discuss how to make money on the road, which is always the $64 million question, pardon the pun, when people say they want to go full-time. I want to go full-time, but I don't know how to make money. So every Sunday night, Mary Beth and I give you sound, solid, tried, true, tested ideas on how people make money on the road. And last month we talked about my new Stuff the States business and Mary Beth's wide load escort service, which just sounds so wrong.
I really tried not to use the word escort, even though that is what, it is an escort, but it's just an escort of a little different kind.
Oh, so funny. So, yes, which is not what it is. So just tune in if you're interested in that to last week. So this week, we have talked about this before, but it's always still a mystery. A lot of people, before they go on the road, they say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start a blog and then make $1 million with my blog and then I'm going to go on the road. La, 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 la. So Mary Beth and I are a little bit experts because we do have blogs that make money and that support our travels. And so we're going to give you our top 5 tips tonight on how to start a money-making blog. So, Mary Beth, when you started your blog, before we do go through the tips, when you started your blog, were you worried that it wouldn't make any money?
Well, I'll just be really honest with you. I was not as far as you were even were. I mean, you're so much more, you're the Google queen, and you've got all this information always coming in your brain. And you, I'll have to say, you usually take the time to decipher it. I really didn't even understand what a blog was. When I got the big idea to have one, I just wanted to have a blog because that's what everybody else seemed to be doing. That's how everybody else was making money. And so when I embarked on that, I really didn't even know what I was doing. I don't think I even knew enough to be worried that it wasn't going to make money. I was more worried to even know how to make it work. I mean, I think when we started, I didn't even know what WordPress was or, anything like that. So I had a real learning curve at the very beginning, and it probably wasn't until my website was a couple of months old, and this was, a couple of months before I met you, Kimberly, that I started thinking, oh, my gosh, how am I going to get this thing to make money? So I kind of went a little bit backwards when I started. So, I've got a little bit more of an experience on that end of it, of all the things that don't work, before I finally started finding the things that did work.
Well, I really appreciate your honesty, and I think our listeners know that you and I are really very honest, and we share a lot of our mistakes with our listeners because ultimately we don't want them to make the same mistakes. There's no reason to. So I'll have to say that when we first started Full-Time Families, some people may or may not know, we started Full-Time Families before we launched ourselves while we were still in a house. I was collecting information from the road, and I was assembling that information into a magazine, and that's how Full-Time Families began. And one of the first things we did was offer a free magazine. La, 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 free, have a wonderful free magazine. Although it took me hours and hours to compile and took us loads of money to store to create the website and have the storage space and the URLs and everything. I didn't give any of that value. And one of the first things we did wrong was by having that free magazine. It brought in tons of subscribers, but no money. When we started the magazine, I said, join up for this free magazine. In 6 months, we're going to start charging. But everyone listened and heard, join up for this free magazine. It's going to be free forever. So when we started charging, we realized that our list of subscribers had no interest in purchasing a magazine from us. And that was a huge setback. We really had to start all the way from scratch because the bottom line is people value information that they pay for. That same value is aligned. And although this was worthy information and really did have a price, we were giving it away for free. And when it was time to charge for it, which was a $15 annual subscription, not much, people said, no, thank you. They didn't see the value in it because we had been giving it away for free. That was the very first thing that we did wrong.
Well, and that just goes, you and I talk a lot about, just do it and, put it in motion and all that kind of stuff. But this is one area that you really do have to think about how you're going to proceed with your business. And no matter whether it's a free magazine or a product or service or a consultation or whatever, you really do condition your customers as you go along in how to receive your service. So if you're going to piecemeal your products, that's fine, but don't do that for 6 months and then decide, oh, you're going to go to a subscription-based product where, you know, you want them to pay they've paid a couple of dollars or $10 or whatever, a minimal amount for something every so often, and then all of a sudden try to get them to pay this big amount, you know, to have all of your products at once. So you really have to be careful in how you condition your customers, because if not, then you'll be right in the same boat that you were in, Kimberly, and that is that you kind of had to go back and start over from scratch.
Absolutely. Condition is so the right word, and it's a terrible word to me because I don't like the idea that we're actually physically doing something to our customers. But like I said, people will put value. There's no value on free products. There really isn't. So that being said, that does not mean there's no value in a free gift. And in a few minutes, Mary Beth and I will be talking about a free gift and how that's different than an entirely free subscription base. Do you want to start with your tips? You made a really nice document that we're going to share with the people at the end, and I think it's perfect.
Well, the first thing that we talked about, and we've talked about this before, and it's it's nothing that we come up with our rocket science knowledge. But the first thing you have to really do is establish your idea. We've talked about it before, and we'll say it again. You really do not have to reinvent the wheel to come up with an edgy new business plan. All it takes is a fresh spin on an old idea, and that can be just as profitable as any other person that's got the next big thing. So this is when you need to take the time and establish your idea. Think about what niche of the market. You know, you might be able to, I can't even think of anything right now, like something that's really cool right now. What's something that's trending right now?
Essential oils.
Okay, there you go. You know, I'm not saying that we should all go out and copy essential oils. However, essential oils is already a successful idea. If you may have a niche in the market, like maybe a way to market or sell
to blend them.
I am constantly
searching for an essential oils cookbook, like because I have that diffuser, and I always want to know what like two or three oils can I put together in the diffuser to make a happy scent or a focus scent, that's what I want. I want recipes, and I'm all over Pinterest, and I'm all over the web, and they're very hard to find. I would love an essential oils cookbook URL.
That's a really good point, Kimberly, because that I think that a lot of ideas are born, and we can talk about this in a minute, but a lot of good ideas are born out of someone's necessity. And that, we've talked about this also before, but Road Trip Teacher, my business that has been successful for me and is a big part of how we travel now, was all born out of me wanting, looking for a certain, study guide for my road schoolers. And so, it's a lot of times, if you've got something like you just said, Kimberly, and, you're looking for a way to blend essential oils, maybe that's your next big idea.
Right. Absolutely. Then the same thing with full-time families. When I got that idea, when I got that jolt of lightning that said I'm going to live in a camper, I ran into the house, and you love to call me the Google queen, I immediately Googled people who live in a camper full-time, blah, 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 and I found next to nothing, Mary Beth, and I thought, well, there needs to be something here, and I can't wait for it to get here. I'm going to just start putting it here. So, that's how both our businesses were born out of. So I always love to tell people because, sometimes people will have an idea and say, oh, shucks, that's already been done. Have you seen Pepsi and Coke? It's essentially the same thing. They both make millions of dollars a day. There's plenty of room in the market for the same idea. Like Mary Beth said in tip number one, it just has to, give it a fresh spin. No one is doing it the way you can do it. 100,000 people might be doing it, but no one is doing it the way you can do it because you are an individual.
That's right. And it just, all across America, there's a CVS on one corner and a Walgreens on the other. It's just another confirmation that, there's more than enough room in the market for two different ways to do something.
Absolutely.
Don't sit on your idea. If you've got something that you think will work, put it in motion.
Absolutely. Okay, so tip number two is register a URL. So this is a really, really big key especially if there are other people in your market. You want to register your URL that's easy to remember. I'll read Mary Duck's tip. It says, when you come up with a viable plan for your new business / blog, it's time to nail down a business name. Research by simply going to Google to be sure the name is available and not already trademarked, overused, or otherwise already taken. It's tempting to use catchwords or unique spellings, but save yourself a huge number of headaches down the road and stick to the spelling, correct spelling of the website name in the URL. Absolutely. Because if your thing takes off, guess what? You're going to have to register. So let's say you do something with Trailer Park Boys, right, and you put that cute little Z at the end. Well, guess what? If your thing takes off and people really like it, they're going to forget that Z. And they're going to go to Trailer Park Boys, and it's either going to have already been registered with something that has nothing to do with your business, or if you have made the mistake of not registering every kind of combination, if you haven't registered it with the S, then you're going to miss out on that business. Someone else is going to come and register it. That being said, we have the URL full-time family spelled correctly, and then we have the URL full-time families with the L-Y-S spelled incorrectly, and that points to full-time families spelled correctly, just so if people spell it incorrectly, they still get to the same spot. And if there is a competitor in the market or someone who wants to catch our people, then it's already taken. So you're going to want to come up with something that clearly identifies your business in 2 to 3 words maximum and is easy to remember. And like take Mary Beth's Road Trip Teacher, for example. Road Trip Teacher, it's 3 words. It's got some nice alliteration in the trip and the teacher, and it clearly says what she does. She's a teacher, and she teaches during road trips. Simple.
Right, and one thing I want to add to that is be really careful of the .coms and the .nets and the .orgs and everything else that is out there, because it's really, 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 really tempting when you have your greatest idea ever and you go out there and you find that your .com has been taken, but the .net or something similar is available. And let me tell you, from personal experience, and you can read all about it, there's a huge high percentage of all kinds of statistics out there that talk about how much more valuable the .com is. But I can tell you from personal business experience, prior to Road Trip Teacher, we had a business like that. We convinced ourselves the .net was okay. It was a huge mistake, huge, huge mistake. Cost us several thousands of dollars. Then we had to buy the .com. The person that owned it was out of this country. They wanted $15,000 for it. It was crazy, 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 crazy. So save yourself headaches in the beginning and find a good .com URL that clearly identifies your business.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it is tempting. Now, while we're talking about this, let's talk about, you know, when you register on GoDaddy, let's say you register ilovetheusa.com. And then that's available, and then the .net and the .us and the .org is all available. Do you feel like you need all of those?
You know, I feel like the .org is something that's fairly, you know, and I may be all wet. I'm not saying this is, you know, the gospel, but in my opinion, the .orgs are for, you know, charitable organizations and educational organizations that don't have .edu, and I feel like the org is something that that you don't have to have, because that has a kind of its own community of people that qualify, if you will, for the .org. I do feel like the .net is probably something that, if it's available, is kind of a no-brainer. If it's available, why not have it just in case?
Good to know. Good to know. Okay, so go ahead with number 3.
So number 3 is all about developing a mailing list. And so I'm going to read the tip as it is, and then we'll talk a little bit about how we arrived at this. So the blogging world is mammoth, and there are numerous ways to share your business venture. However, there is definitely no better connection to your direct customers than a mailing list comprised of valid names and email addresses of those who actually subscribed to your business. So these are people that came to your site, and they want to know more about you, and they do not want to miss the things that you have to say. And this can be in the form of a mailing list, as well as like your RSS feed that constantly delivers your content to your subscribers. The website homepage should have an opt-in button or a link so that the potential customers can sign up for your mailing list. And normally, your email manager will send that person a confirmation, and then this is the best way to entice them to be on your mailing list, is then to offer them a free product like Kimberly was talking about before. And that's usually, I mean, you know, in today's world, that's usually some sort of an e-book or an e-list or something that's downloadable, that's a digital download immediately after your information is entered on the subscription. The mailing list portion of a new blog or business can all be managers with all kinds of services that are available out there. There's many that are free. There's some that are that you can pay for. Kimberly actually uses AWeber, I believe. Is that right, Kimberly?
That's true, yes.
Yep. Full-time Families uses AWeber. Road Trip Teacher uses MailChimp. Those are just our personal preferences. We don't get paid to say that. That just happens to be the two that we use. But there are tons out there that you can use to target your customers and send auto-responders and a whole host of other nifty ways that will help keep in touch with the prospects on your list. And I can tell you, again, talking about our experience, I had had my website for a good 6 to 8 months. I'd had my idea rolling in my head for a good 2 years before I met Kimberly. And it was like a light bulb went off when she said to me, well, how are you developing your mailing list? How are you keeping all your subscribers? What are you sending them? And I looked, I'm sure you remember, I had a total deer in the headlight.
I do remember. That is the number one mistake everyone makes. Everyone does the first two right. They establish a good idea. They get themselves a good URL. Okay, some people might get the .net instead of the .com and get that screwed up. But for the most part, the first two things can be done pretty simply. The very next thing, while you are writing content on that, before you even write a single letter on your thing, you need to have in your mind what you are offering your people that get to your website, so that you can exchange something, you can give them something, and they will give you your email address. Like you said, these are people who came and don't want to miss what's happening next at your website. But like Mary Beth said, there's so much information out there, information overload. I might bookmark a website that I want to go back to, and then I never even look at my bookmark. Unless I get something from you in my inbox, chances are I'm going to forget that I was there. Even though I really, really want to come back, I'm just going to forget. So the first thing I want people to do when they register their URL is sit there and say, okay, who is my target reader? Who's my target customer? And what are they going to take away from coming to this website? What are they here for? I'll give you the example. We're doing this with Laura Hay Hamilton. She is in the process of building the learningpathfinder.com. We talked about her last week. She's building a website to showcase her services as someone who can unearth your child's learning modality. So right away, if I find Laura via search that says, hey, how do I figure out my child's learning modality? And I find Laura, what is it I'm going to want to take away from that website once I'm there? And for me, it might be, what are the modalities? So I can start working on what it is that how my children learn. So maybe a very short report about the top 10 modalities that exist. And that's a free gift that she'll offer on her website, and I will then give her my email address in exchange for that free gift. And then I'll know, based on her communication with me through the mailing list, if she's going to be in my area, what other new services she's offering, what advancements she's made, if, you know, everything. I want to know, because if I finally find something of interest to me, interesting enough to give you my email address, that means I really want to know what's happening next. So don't keep me in the dark.
Right. That's all awesome information. And let's also not forget a mailing list. You know, some of our listeners out there that are really new to the blogging world might think, well, I don't even have, you know, what is a mailing list? I'm not going to actually send, products or send, you know, sell services like that. But that is not exactly, you know, it's a little misleading. Your mailing list is your avenue to deliver information back to your potential customers. And so that is information that is products that you may sell and content that you're going to publish and all the things that you're going to talk about. It's your one-way communication. It's actually two-way communication. It's your communication to your potential customers, and it's their one-way ticket back to you so that they know where you're at. For Road Trip Teacher, for example, my free product is a puzzle book that is it's like the USA Across America puzzle book, and it is actually a little bit of a sampling of what you can expect in some of my bigger study guides. So I think it's helpful when you when you're designing your free product, just like Kimberly said, it needs to be reflective of what your business is all about and the information that your readers or your customers can expect to get from your website.
Absolutely. And my free gift, our free gift pages, during holiday time, we offer 12 Advent activities that you can do in any camper with very limited supplies, because we really love counting Advent down in our rig, and we like sharing that with our website viewers. Currently, it's the Road Trip Teachers Road School Planner that Mary Beth developed. And when it's not seasonal, when it's not the Road Trip Planner, it's a report on 10 free things that you can do no matter where in the world you are. So there are some rainy days where I'm stuck in a camper, or even sunny days, and I still don't know what I want to do, and I know I don't want to spend any money, but I want to get out of this house. I can always look at that report, and one of those, at least one of those, but all 10 will be mostly in an area anywhere, like geocaching, or going to fish hatcheries, or checking out state parks. So that's a list that makes sense to me for my business.
Absolutely. And let's stop right here before we move on to our number four tip and talk about just a few things. This is a good point to point out. If you hear words, because I was really guilty of this, when you hear words that you don't understand, you need to stop and find out what they mean. Don't just skim over things. You know, when you start out in the blogging world, I remember that there were so many things that I didn't understand. I mean, just like the actual word WordPress. For months, I didn't really even know what that was. I knew that everybody had one. I knew I wanted to have one, but I didn't really know what it was. I didn't know what it done for you. So, you know, when people start talking about autoresponders and, you know, all these blogging lingo, stop and Google, you know, that's Kimberly's favorite word, Google those keywords and just, you know, educate yourself on how the blog works and how you know how to make it the right fit for you, so that you can kind of get under that learning curve that some of us went through in the beginning. And so number four is to grow your social media presence. And social media can, you know, be your business's best friend or worst enemy, depending on how you establish that. Kimberly and I, for both of our businesses and for our Road School Moms group, we rely a lot on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Those are our top three. But there's others out there, Google Plus and LinkedIn and some others that are more beneficial depending on which type of the industry you're in. So the biggest thing we can tell you about social media is to research it all and definitely pick two or three that you feel can work with your business and grow those, because these avenues will help build your reputation and your brand while it showcases your products to those who might not see it otherwise. And in addition, social media can drive traffic to your website as well as provide great customer feedback. So before launching your new website or your new blog, be sure that all your ducks in a row and that you've established social media accounts with Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest and any of the others that you feel are important to your business with the proper links back to your website.
Absolutely. And I also love Instagram for this, especially for yours and mine, where people are traveling and sharing their travels, their adventures, their road schooling. Instagram is great because it's really easy to bring that back to your website and get a lot of fresh content on your website just because it's just from your readers. You know, when they use Instagram and you have an Instagram account and you ask them to tag it with whatever, like what we did for the Road School Convention, we had people tag their pictures with Road School Rocks. We had thousands of pictures from people just throwing them up on Instagram with that tag. So that's always funny.
Well, and you can look at it in this way. You know, you've kind of baked the cake with your business and your idea and your blog, and then you need to ice it with social media. You know, the social media can be the icing and the sprinkles and all the extras that it brings in and makes it taste really good. And while we're talking about social media, I want to throw out one caution there, and that is when you have a business, and we'd already talked about the URL, it's really, really important that you have your own business name and URL. Do not start your business and just rely on Facebook or just rely on Twitter, because I know a lot of people in the beginning, they had a business and they went out and they built a Facebook page and they put all their time into their Facebook page and they developed it and they had a group and they had all this great thing. And then if something happens with Facebook or something happens with your subscription or you use the wrong word and they lock you out, your whole business is out of your control. So you want to be sure that you register your own URL and you have your website and that that's the crux of your business and that their social media is just used as, like we just talked about, kind of like icing on the cake.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everybody talks about the Facebook algorithm, and that is so very true. As we all have experienced, Facebook changes its policies, changes the way people see things, really has control over your news feed, and if you put all your eggs into the social media basket, then you're missing out. And also, as a caveat, not everyone is on social media. I know that in 2014, it's very hard for me to say that, but that's true. A lot of my new signups have never seen me on Facebook. They found me through Google directly at my website.
Right. Well, it just, you know, it's ever-changing. And, you know, 2 years ago, you can say that most people, you know, there's, well, just like you said, it's just ever-changing. And so it's just a really good idea to be in control of your own website. And the only way to do that is to have your own URL and build your business around your own website and use your social media as, you know, just an extra, you know, an extra guide, if you will.
Right. Okay, so number five. So you've got your website, you've got your social media, you've got your mailing list, you're all ready to go. Now what? Well, this is really the most important part. Because they say content is king on the web, and no truer statement has ever been made. So, number five is produce content. Once your idea is put into motion and is rolling down the road to financial success, keep the momentum going by producing timely and relevant content. The keywords to producing content are consistent and regular. Now, this does not mean that a new post must appear on your website every morning at 9 a.m. It means that new content should post at routine intervals to your site, social media, so your potential customers are regularly reminded of your fabulous niche in the market. As a side note, the best investment a new blogger can make in this area is a professional and foolproof editing method so that content is grammatically correct and free of spelling errors. Well, absolutely. My goal is to produce between 3 and 5 blog posts a week, to produce one video at least every 2 weeks. As you know, we produce the show every week. And to produce at least one newsletter to my email list every week. That's a lot of writing. Unfortunately, I don't take Mary Beth's tip to heart yet, which I absolutely should, and I don't spell check my stuff, and it's a mess. I'm the first one to say it. It's a mess. I do try to reread it, but I'm producing so much content that it just spills out and I'm off to something else because, as you know, we are also homeschooling our children, running a household, and sometimes traveling many hundreds of miles. So if that's going to be your sticking point, if you're not going to produce until it's absolutely perfect, then you have two choices. You could A, not bother, or you could give up that and keep moving forward. What do you think, Mary Beth?
Well, I think that that's an absolutely valid point. And I'll tell you that when, and, you know, you were my biggest cheerleader when this started for me, I really used to beat myself up about, you know, oh, I haven't had a post in 2 weeks. And you were the one that kind of showed me that you didn't have to produce something every single day. You know, if you, you know, so I don't write tons of blog posts for Road Trip Teacher. I'm more about producing products and adding new things to my website, and I do post about those. And then what I try to do is just to bring other resources through my website and through my social media accounts that are beneficial to my readers from other sites. Because I found that I just couldn't do that. The idea of it sounds wonderful. And I do have another blog, Diary of a Road Mom, that's a little bit easier to maintain because it talks about recipes and, you know, it's more on the home front of how we do in our rig. And I find it easier to post blog posts with because it's more just about our everyday life. But as far as Road Trip Teacher, there's not tons of posts on there that are directly written by me, and that's because I just plain can't do it. I can't keep up with all of it. And after many talks with Kimberly late at night, you telling me, you know, you can only do what you can do and just be regular with your posts. And so that's what I do. I produce one every couple of weeks. I produce one when I add something new to my site. and it worked so much better, and I'm so less stressed out. So you really do need to modify it according to the way that you fit into your own market and the way that your business idea fits into your life. But the key to it is for it to be regular and consistent. You know, my readers that have been on my subscription list now for the last couple of years, they know that I produce, you know, they watch for posts when I, you know, have new releases on my website.
Right.
And I, as a subscriber to Full Time Families, I watch for a new video every week because I know that's what you do. It's consistent and regular.
Right, exactly. And, you know, in a case like yours, this goes on a case-by-case basis. So I'm going to talk about two more tips. When you produce content, like Mary Beth said, her content, why I would continue to go to Road Trip Teacher, what I want to know when I go there again is what's new. That's what I want to know. So if she's producing blog posts about how lovely it is in Idaho in the fall, that's great. But unless she's got a Road Trip Teacher guide for Idaho, I'm not really interested. So the best use of her time is in those guides, because that's what we're going to that site for. Another secret I want to share with people is there is absolutely one of the easiest things to do is to collaborate with people. I can't say it enough. You know, a lot of people want to get into these niches. They want to, every man is their own island. They're, you know, I'm going to do this all by myself. That is one of the most foolish things that you can do when you're running a website and you're producing tons of content. You need to collaborate with people in like fields. It can even be the same field as long as you feel comfortable with that person. A lot of times when Mary Beth does produce a post, I will syndicate it on Full Time Families. What that does for both of us is it produces content for me, and it produces new readers for Mary Beth. So that's one of the best things you can do. If you find the time crunch, if you find that you can't produce the way you would like to, you can change your target and then go look to collaborate with people. We do 2 guest posts a month from all different sources, whether it be RV dealers or just anything you can imagine, campgrounds, anything that seems. I get tons of stuff in my inbox about people who want to write for full-time families, and, you know, if you come at me with a thing that I know my readers will respond to, then, yeah, we'll make room for you on the website, because that will take some off my plate for the week. So don't be afraid to collaborate.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best pieces of advice for the night, because I know for me, it does a couple of different things. When you collaborate with somebody else, it brings a little bit, you know, it brings fresh ideas to your site. It makes you look at things in a little different light, and it brings their customers to you and your customers to them, and it really is a win-win situation for both of you. And if you do that, you know, like you say, if you do that twice a month or twice a week or whatever, you know, you just double your exposure every time you do that. So it really is important to collaborate and not try to keep it all and try to do it all yourself, because you just can't do it.
Right, right. You know, in all our traveling, I have heard that everything that you do with open arms is way more successful than anything you try to attempt to do with closed fists. Whether it's give money, be generous, whether it's collaborate with your business, whether it's education for your children, you know, just picture yourself with your arms open in whatever your endeavor is, and you'll be able to receive many more gifts when you're in that position than when your fist is clenched and you're just trying to hold on to it at all costs.
I absolutely love that visual. That is awesome. We have to make a graphic for that, because that is really spot on. I love that. Be open and to receive. That's awesome. I like it.
Very cool. Well, I want to talk about what is going on at Full Time Families this week, because we've had a very exciting week, because I was able to spend so much time on the website, and we were also able to hire help. We have produced our first listing of FTF family-friendly approved campgrounds. You know, we've been working on this project. Well, I'll say that the page I edited to add the campgrounds was from 2011. So that's when we started this project, and as I've mentioned in earlier broadcasts, we were laughed out of campground because no one thought they'd want any families camping, or gypsies as we were called back then. But the climate has changed so much that they are finally ready to embrace full-time families, and and declare that they want your business. So in an effort to find a very good union between family, campers, and campgrounds, we've developed criteria for family-friendly campgrounds. And these criteria are that the campground is, A, number one, most important, a safe place. And so we have our staff going through thousands of campgrounds, going through all the reviews for each individual campground and making sure that it is a safe place for your family. After that, we ask that the campground, if they'd like to apply for our program, and when they say yes, we say, okay, in exchange for us giving you advertising on our list, we ask that you will waive the kid tax, which is the additional person's fee that some campgrounds charge for FTF card carrying members. And so if you go to a place that publishes a rate of $30 a night and they normally will charge an extra $5 per kid and you have four kids, that could be another $20. Well, we're asking those people, those campgrounds, to waive that $20 per night that they would otherwise charge you, and these campgrounds are saying yes. And then we're expanding that to find out if they have Wi-Fi, whether they provide Wi-Fi or that they at least have access to Verizon and AT&T Wi-Fi. And then lastly, we want to know what type of amenities they have for families. And so all that information is being compiled for you and stored on the FTF Family Friendly Campground link, which I will put on our chat.
Well, for me, I am totally excited about the FTF Campground Directory, and I can't wait to be able to get on the road and use it because I know, for one, I do not like kid tax. And all the other things are awesome, and just knowing that it's a safe place that you can rest at night and good Wi-Fi and all that is awesome. But the kid tax is really sticks in my craw when we have to pay that, so I'm really excited about your directory.
It is. You know, the kid tax, you know what the kid tax reminds me to do, Mary Beth? It reminds me to wash everything and everyone in my rig.
Yeah.
If I pay the kid tax, guess what? Every single person is taking a shower that night. Because I just don't, you know, it's campground's prerogative to do that, but I really want our camping dollars to go where to campgrounds that value families and that want families. And it's been a long time coming. I'm tired of hunting and pecking to try to figure out if my family's going to be welcome at a campground, and I'm really excited about this list, too. So the whole time that we've been traveling, I have been going to all the campground managers that we've stayed at and sending this program to them, and we have had very favorable responses also. So if you, as a listener, know of a campground that should definitely be on our list, you can email me at Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and I will tell them they've been nominated as a family-friendly certified campground and get the ball in motion to get them online on our program.
Awesome. Well, I'm trying to think of what's going on at Road Trip Teacher this week, and I think it's just what we've already talked about since all of our interactive notebook videos that will be coming out this week, and we are finishing up another copywork guide that's going to be available this week and some other copywork guides. As you know, we published the multiplication copywork guide a couple of weeks ago, and we had tons of requests for addition and subtraction for younger elementary, so we will be releasing those in the middle of the week. And our rig is hopefully headed towards Denver, where we will meet up with you for next week's show. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. That's so exciting. Very cool. So next week on the show, I'm really excited to celebrate Croctoberfest with you, Mary Beth.
Can't wait.
We have Heather, who runs a very successful blog called Who Needs a Cake, coming on to talk all about crockpot meals. As you and I know, I rely very heavily on my crockpot. I love it for travel days specifically because we plug it in and off we go. And when we're finally done, that big question of what's for dinner is answered because it's already done and cooked in the crockpot, and we're always usually starving. So I'm really excited to talk to Heather. She's got some really great ideas, some family-friendly recipes, and some really fun things to make, like, 7 crock-pot meals in an hour, which I actually did from her website, and I'm going to tell you that it was successful. So Heather will be joining us. And then the week after that is going to be fire safety. Is that right?
Yep, that'll be our whole show on fire safety in your RV. We have lots of exciting giveaways, and we'll have all kinds of things to talk about that night. I'm looking forward to that one.
Right. And then the 26th is going to be Just Us Moms. And if you have a topic that you'd like to hear us discuss, please go to our Facebook group at Rose School Moms Facebook group and tell us what you'd like us to talk about. And if you'd like to join us on the air, you're welcome to do that as well.
Yep, and so that wraps up tonight's show, and we're so excited for all of our live guests. And if you're tuning in on our podcast or through iTunes, we want to say a big hello to you, and you can always go to our Road School Moms Facebook group and check on all the links that we've talked about tonight, or you can visit fulltimefamilies.com or roadtripteacher.com, where lots of our products are available, and the posts that we've talked about tonight are also posted. So if that's all, I guess, tonight that we have tonight, we will see you same time, same place, next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And until then, safe travels and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work. And may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.